Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning again, folks. This is Steve Williamson. Bill Timmerman is here with me in the studio today. We're going to be talking about a really lightweight, easygoing, stimulating problem we call investment and tax policy. Right, Bill?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, about a month or so ago here on Democratic Perspective, we talked a little bit about the roots of the current economic crisis in America, which go back way before this housing bubble burst. And why so many people are unemployed? Why do we have 14 million, 25 million, really, if you count the people stopped looking for work? Why do we have them out of work? Well, today we're going to continue our investigation with a look at what we can do to fix this problem, to restore our economic health and create the jobs that we now don't have.
Real title is sort of like, how do we get people back to work and get the economy moving again, right, Bill?
Right. We're going to fix it. We're going to do it all in 15 minutes. How about that? Maybe somebody will hire us.
I'm going to let you roll on because we do have 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, we'll fill it up here. Well, look, this is a complicated problem, and when the housing bubble burst and this recession started, it got a lot worse, and it scared a lot of people, including bankers and economists. And, you know, when they get scared, they start saying things nobody can understand, like capital reserve requirements, currency exchange regimes, foreign direct investment, tradable and non-tradable sectors, and current account balances, all of which are very important and very difficult to understand. But if you want to put people back to work, if you want to really look closely at what the problems are, there's only two things, really, that you've got to be worried about if you're going to solve the unemployment problem, and that's investment and taxes. So let's look a little bit first at investment. We already know that in the current crisis, the private sector has reduced its investment outlays, and we also know the reasons why. When sales are down and customers don't have the money to buy the things that the companies are currently producing, these companies have a very strong incentive to hang on to their money.
Yeah, we were looking at some statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it says they're tracking the reasons companies are laying off people. And they found that they had 1,119 layoffs were attributed to government regulation. That seems big. Except 144,746 were attributed to poor business demand, like what you're talking about, consumer as well as corporation demand for products, right, Bill?
Yeah, that's 100-1, so there's really no contest. And the other thing is companies are sitting on a lot of cash, and even those companies that aren't don't intend to borrow anymore, even when the interest rates are very low, as they intend to be in a depression. Recession. We don't want to call it a depression.
They're calling it the Great Recession. Seems reasonable. I've got a statistic here. 500 companies that comprise the S&P index have $800 billion in cash and cash equivalents, according to one of the research companies. We'll have that on the internet if you want to know the name. The rating firm Moody's says that there are 1,600 companies it monitors have $1.2 trillion in cash at the end of 2010. That's what they had at 2010.
Yeah, so when companies stop buying new equipment or hiring new workers, it's because they don't believe they can make a profit on the additional outlay. They don't believe the customers are out there. And something even worse happens. At first, they stop hiring more new people as their sales drop off. But if things don't improve, eventually they start laying off the people who are already working for them. And that reduces demand for what they're producing even more. There's even less incentive for them to invest in new production than there was at the beginning.
It's kind of a downward cycle, right? People have less money. They buy less things. Companies produce less stuff. They hire less people. It's a sort of circular downward spiral. And that's what this recession has been about to some degree, folks.
Yeah, and we got to figure out how to break that downward cycle. So how do we do that? Well, if private corporations won't invest in new products, the government, which doesn't have to worry about making a profit or going bankrupt, has to take up the slack. Which is where the Republicans, when you say that, it's where the Republicans usually go nuts, and they start yelling about deficits and inflation and government boondoggles and waste and fraud and abuse. We've all heard this, right? Even though they're wrong. Republicans say these things all the time.
I think the thing is that the Republicans have sort of boxed themselves into a corner. They want to criticize everything the Democrats and Obama administration did, and they moved themselves really to the very, very far right extreme of professional economists, so they've got fewer and fewer people agreeing with them. We've got an interesting quote here, if I can find it, Bill. You know, this is a man named Bartlett. And he worked for George Bush, and he worked for Ronald Reagan. And what did he say? Looking at the wrong piece of paper.
Well, you've got to find the right piece of paper.
I've got to find the right piece of paper.
I mean, we're trying to make the point here that Republicans don't understand economics, so you got to find that piece of paper.
I can't find a piece of paper with my jokes on it either, Bill.
Okay. Well, if you ask professional economists, including Nobel Prize winners like Paul Krugman, they'll tell you that the U.S. government has done this in the past. We've made massive investments in the economy when times were bad. And guess what? The government has done it successfully every single time. The first time was during the Great Depression. The federal government ran a deficit and invested the money in things that put people back to work. To take just one example, they funded the Hoover Dam. You remember the Hoover Dam. Many of us have driven over the top of it. Well, it cost them $49 million. Not very much by today's standards, but in today's money, that's about $750 million. And then guess what? The cheap electricity from the dam and water from Lake Mead helped turn Las Vegas and Los Angeles into two of the most prosperous cities in the country. The resulting increase in tax revenues more than paid for what the project cost. And I'll tell you something else for folks who think that the government and private industry are mutually incompatible. The Bechtel Corporation, which is now one of the largest international construction firms in the world, got its start with government contracts to build the Hoover Dam. They were the principal contractor on the Hoover Dam. And that wasn't the only time the government did this. The second time was during World War II. The government ran massive deficits during World War II to build war equipment, even greater than during the early years of the Depression. They paid private industry to build factories and shipyards and airfields all over the country and got them to hire millions of people to build ships and tanks and planes. And when the war was over, the government turned these factories over to private industry. And private industry started producing cars and refrigerators and television sets.
So why do we move from something that worked to something that doesn't work? And here's Bruce Bartlett quote I was looking for.
Found your paper.
Now, I found a piece of paper. He worked for George H.W. Bush, and he worked for Ronald Reagan. He said, Republicans favor tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations, but these have no stimulative effect during the George W. Bush administration, and there's no reason to believe that more of them will have any more effect today than they did back then.
So the wages that working people earned during the war snapped up these new products with their saved wartime wages, and the companies that made them hired even more people, many of them returning servicemen who'd been educated for the good-paying jobs in this new peacetime economy by, guess what, the government-funded GI Bill. Now, these newly prosperous private companies paid taxes, and so did the people who worked for them. The government deficits of the war years were gradually reduced, and the American 50s and 60s became famous all over the world for their unprecedented prosperity. Some government boondoggle that was, right?
It's interesting that you can have a war, you can spend tremendous amount of money, go into deficit, but it doesn't lead to what the Republican would say it does. What it leads is to the money was there to spend to stimulate the economy, even if it didn't look like to ordinary folks or even economists back then that it was there.
Yeah.
And it's proved because it worked.
And the other thing is there was no inflation because we were investing in the manufacturing that built the products that the people had the money to buy, and we had a balanced economy. Now, the government got similar results, even without a depression and a war, from the investments they made in the interstate highway system in the program in the 50s, back when Republicans believed in government spending. Remember, it was Eisenhower who got the interstate highway program started. And then there was the space program in the 60s and 70s. If you want to know how those government investment programs worked out, for God's sake, don't ask a Republican. I mean, he never heard of Tang or Velcro. What you want to do is ask the trucking and hotel industries or the computer and electronics industry who grinned all the way to the bank on the backs of that government investment. So whatever Rick Perry or Herman Cain thinks, right now when we're stuck in another nasty recession, the worst since the Great Depression, in fact, we need the government to invest more than ever.
Now, we're in a position where private companies won't invest because they're fearful, right, Bill, that they'll get anything back on their investment. You can't make more widget if nobody's going to buy the widget. So you're not going to put more money into new machinery, which, of course, hires people, or you're not going to put more money into hiring more workers for your industry.
Yeah. So, well, what do we hear from the Republicans? But what about the deficit? What about government insolvency? Won't our children be saddled with our debts? I can already hear the Republicans and the Tea Partiers jumping up and down and screaming. Well, they should relax. We're talking about a shared cooperative economy here. The government helps us repair our balance sheets when times are tough, then we help the government repair its balance sheet through our taxes when we're better off. Which brings us to the second factor in our recovery program, taxes and tax policy. Simply put, the way to achieve and maintain continued prosperity is to have the government invest in the economy when private industry is afraid to, even if that means cutting taxes and running deficits. When businesses start making increased profits and reinvesting again, the government can harvest the increased tax revenues, and the budget deficit will be reduced. The cycle is repeated, and the two forces, government and private investment, alternate as the business cycle goes up and down. Absolutely, positively, the surest way to wreck the economy is to do what the Republicans want us to do. If we do what they recommend, if we reduce taxes no matter what, shrink the government until it can't invest in our future, and then watch businesses turn to the Wall Street casino when productive business investments can no longer turn a profit, we're going to be very, very sorry, even sorrier than we all are already. I ask you folks, how has cutting corporate taxes been working out for us lately? Of course, the government uses deficit spending to invest in the economy, and when it does, we all want it to invest wisely and to make sure that the industries it creates or subsidizes are competitive. How do we make sure that they do? Well, that's another program, isn't it? Maybe we'll do it soon, and maybe we'll call it Globalization and Industrial Policy. Catchy title, right, Steve?
There's a reason to use the deficit wisely. It's never wise to use it unwisely. Let's talk about programs coming up. Next week, November 7th, Alan Grayson, Democratic firebrand from Florida. We had an interview with him a few weeks ago. Alan Grayson will be on the show. On November 14th, Raul Grijalva, the Democratic congressman from Southern Arizona, will be on. And then we'll have a second program on November 21st with him. Go to the website, folks. All our programs are available as podcast, www.bbid.org. Remember that the Occupy Sedona folks are having a demonstration on Wednesday at 89A in Coffee Pot, 5 to dusk.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.